Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the time.
Hello, and good evening, and welcome to another edition of Embrace Your Ambition. I'm Beverly Bramwell, your host. I'm an advocate for women to live their best life, because that's all we have today, right now. Tonight, we're going to talk about speaking up. Are you afraid to speak up, whether it's at work or in your personal life? And how does that affect how you live your life? Are you living your best life? Because that for me is what it's all about, living your best life. When you have a chance, do you pause and rehearse what you have to say? Because you're in this place of thinking, what if I look stupid? What if I sound foolish? The problem is that what is actually foolish is all the putting into thinking about what you should say rather than actually just speaking up. Because in that time that you're thinking and procrastinating and overanalyzing, your opportunity might be lost. And I'm sure your contribution is valid and just as important as your colleague or the person at the meeting who you want to share your thoughts and opinion with. But until you speak up, we'll never know, and you'll never know. And all this rehearsing and wondering and trying to get it right, because so many of us are caught up in this place of, I must get it right, we miss out. And I'm taking this from my friend Emma, a recovering perfectionist, sometimes good enough will do. You've got an idea, maybe you've scribbled on a that you want to make sure that you add them, well, just add them. Just think, I must say something about this. I must make sure that I get my point across. You can do it calmly. There's no need for any sort of anxiety, but you can do this. And as to this idea of looking foolish, who's judging? Probably you. Because I think we are our own biggest critics. So no matter what anybody or you think anybody is going to say about you, I know, and I know from personal experience, you are thinking a hell of a lot worse. The things that you will say to yourself, you would say to your best friend. You probably wouldn't even say to a stranger. But that's what's going on for you when you're saying, I might look foolish or I might look silly. You know, you don't know. You don't know. And why would you think that? Why would that be your go-to place? I'm going to say something and I might look foolish. Makes no sense. It's what I call our irrational thoughts. Our little voice is telling us, don't speak, because maybe you're not good enough. Don't speak, because they're going to judge you. And that voice has been fueled by you. And so the foolish worry of being foolish, the worry of not getting it right, the worry of not being perfect, yeah, that's what gets us. And it's the same with leadership opportunities. If you were asked to lead a project at work, would you say yes readily? Or would you hope that your boss might change their mind? If you're asked to volunteer, does your hand go up or do you think, oh, crap, let's just wait and see if they pick somebody else because, I might have to do it. Maybe there's a voice that says, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for the position. I'm not ready to step up. If you were asked to act up into a more senior position in somebody's absence, are you thinking, yeah, great, here's an opportunity for me to grow and stretch? Or are you thinking, no, I'm not ready? And that's the same when we're in that place of transition, which is where I do a lot of my work, where people are in a place of, I don't know what to do next. And really, they do know what they want to do next. They've got some ideas. But again, that judgment is getting in there about what they can or can't do, what they should. And there's a lot of shoulding and musting going on. And so that's why they're waiting for that perfect time, the right time. And I'm here to tell you there is no perfect time. The time is now to take what I call imperfect action. You might not feel ready. In fact, you'll never feel ready. But if you're believing those unreliable thoughts, of course you're not ready. But you go for it anyway, because guess what? You're not perfect. And I'm not perfect. And the person you're going to work for or talk to is not perfect. We are all flawed human beings. And I'm not saying that to be unkind. It's the truth. We are all flawed human beings. So if I work from the place of being a flawed human being, I can accept myself just the way that I am. And if you heard my show two interviews back with my friend Emma, we talked about radical self-acceptance. It's a tough one to take on because you've been caught up in this place of, I sort of like myself sometimes, but most of the time I don't. So I'll just, I don't know, do the best I can with what I have, but it's not great. Oh gosh, if I could only be taller, shorter, slimmer, fatter, grey, not grey, white, black, whatever it is that we think is going on for us. I'm just saying, take a breath. Acknowledge how far you've come. And say, let's do this. Start wherever you are and use that as your starting point. So if you can accept that you're not perfect, I certainly have. And I encourage you to do the same. And you can start feeling all right with the fact that you're not perfect and that you never will be perfect. Then let's go. I don't know if you watch any of those reality shows, but I've seen one or two where people are having plastic surgery. And what I found is with those shows, those people are seeking perfection, with the perfect breasts, the perfect face, the perfect bottom. But most of them I found don't just have one procedure and it's a one-time thing. Whether it's the nose, I could just sculpt it a bit more. Whether it's their bottom, whether it's their breast, make them bigger, make them smaller, less perky, whatever it is. And so I find that in that pursuit of perfection, they keep on going under the knife and having more procedures. So if they are going for perfection and they cannot be satisfied and saying, my breasts are great, my face is fine, whatever it is that they've had done, a one-time thing, doesn't that tell you something about us as human beings? That no matter how much we strive, we're never happy. And I'm not an advocate of, or not, of having plastic surgery. My point is about that pursuit of perfection. And so I'm saying for you today, if you can let go of that pursuit of perfection, of getting it right, of being so correct, and saying, I'm ready to just go from where I am, what do you think could be possible? If you said, I'm just going to do this. I haven't got all the answers, but I know enough that I can get going. And I can pick up the rest as I go along. And I can get the support if I need it. I can ask questions. If something goes massively wrong, guess what? I'll handle it. Because I know that I can. And I know people can help me if I don't know what to do next. So can you start to see a picture of letting go of perfection, taking perfect action, having radical self-acceptance? You could be good to go. Hiding out is holding you back. Hiding out in meetings, hiding out at work, hiding out in your life holds you back. You're not living your best time. You're not having your best life. So not putting your hand up, not stepping forward, not speaking up, it harms your career, it harms your position, and more importantly, it harms you. Because guess what? Nobody can see you. And if people can't see you, then how can they know anything about you? And frankly, do you want to trust someone to talk about you on your behalf? Do you want somebody to learn about you from second-hand information? Hopefully the person's got the right emphasis on what they should say about you. And what if they haven't? What if they're a bit bland? Because the only person who can really talk about you well is you. So do not trust to luck that someone will say, yeah, she's really good, you should talk to her or pick her. Show them, demonstrate that you are the person they want to speak to. Many of us women have been raised to believe that nice girls don't push themselves forward because they're nice and not pushy. That's what boys do. Boys push themselves forward. Well, guess what? That idea is about as outmoded as floppy disks in computers. And for those of you not old enough to know what a floppy disk is, be glad. But that's where we've come from. So if you're hanging on to these ideas of being nice, waiting to be picked, and looking all sort of demure with your hands in your lap, with your eyes downcast, it's not going to happen. Like I said, your time is now. I know that you either went to college, went to university, got your experience on the job, but you have worked very hard to get where you are now. Whether or not you've got qualifications doesn't matter. My point is you've worked your way up the corporate ladder and now you're going to rest and hope somebody's going to put you forward. Come on, you're more than that. You're better than that. So let's not hide out. And I talked about speaking up, just not at work, but elsewhere. If you were out in a bar or in a restaurant and you received bad service, would you say something? Now, I don't mean shouting the odds and that sort of thing, but a quiet word with the manager. Or if it wasn't possible, would you email the company and talk about the bad service you received or give them some feedback about what had happened? Would you feel uncomfortable doing that? Would you feel okay about doing that? And my example I want to go on to talk about is if your spouse or your friend has done something to upset you, I'm not talking some major thing, but nevertheless, so that you're not happy with them. Do you say anything? Or do you do that thing where you say, I'm fine, when they say, come on, what's wrong? I'm fine. You're clearly not fine, and fine is such an annoying word. The weather's fine, you're not fine. So if they're saying, come on, what's wrong? Can you not tell them without getting annoyed? You know, I'm unhappy, I didn't like what you said. Because the I'm fine response is actually sort of a passive-aggressive way of behaving. It's, you don't need to do that. You can actually say what happened. You can say how they made you feel. They are your feelings. And you can say, I didn't like that. I didn't like that joke. I didn't like how that came across. I'm sure that wasn't their intention to upset you, but that's how it made me feel. Isn't that a much better conversation to have? And then to clear it up, rather than the, I'm fine, and then be silently stewing about it, and then not quite sure knowing what's going on. If you've never done that, I'm pleased for you. I know I have, and I know plenty, and I've seen it done plenty of times. I'm fine. We see it on TV shows. I'm fine. I'm okay. The mouth is saying one thing. The body language is saying something completely different. So being calm and clear and saying what you need to is so much better. And maybe when you've said it, it takes that weight off and you don't have to feel quite so upset about it. And maybe by expressing what has happened for you, that's enough. And they realize, oh, okay, maybe I didn't think that one through. Okay, I get that. There's feedback. That's okay. You haven't got to make them wrong. You're just explaining how you felt, what's happened. That's all that needs to take place. And then we can both move on. And we haven't got to carry it around as some sort of slight. I know people who have had things happen to them, and they're in the scheme of things, it wasn't a big deal. But they didn't express themselves. Instead, they carried around like some great big grudge against the other person. And they make it mean so much more than it probably actually meant to begin with. But now, because I've had it long enough, it's turned into this enormous thing. So maybe it's because they're When all they had to do was just say, this happened and I didn't like it. We can all be thoughtless. We can all be offhand. We can all be casual in our speech. And sometimes we forget that our shorthand, our way of speaking, without any malice, without meaning to cause offence, can do just that. So if I could see it in that way and you can see it in that way, you can have quite a different response. We don't have to get confrontational. We don't have to get angry. We can just express what's going on. And also be mindful of the fact that maybe it's no big deal. It was never meant to be a big deal. I just offer something for you to think about, because it's part of your confidence about being able to speak up, being able to express yourself clearly, calmly, about what you want, you need, the support you might need, without feeling like there's some other situation there. And this leads me on to this whole idea of, in that space of not speaking up, in that space of hiding out, what I think we're doing is settling and playing small. Settling because we're willing to accept a lesser existence, a lesser life. Sometimes we've got used to the idea of being in a certain way and behaving in a certain sort of way. And so somebody says something to upset us, and we could quite easily explain what's happened, but we don't. And maybe they do it on purpose, and maybe they don't. But they keep on doing it. And so we shrink away and get smaller and smaller. Maybe at work somebody does things in a meeting, they talk over you, and they don't think. And you don't say, stop, I haven't finished speaking. And for some people that can be quite startling when they hear that. I haven't finished speaking. If you could just let me finish. And it can be a tough one to say at first, but sometimes it's useful to just state exactly that. I haven't finished speaking. If I could just be allowed to finish. There is nothing wrong in saying what you need to say and expressing it in a way that makes it quite clear that you too have a voice, you too have an opinion, and what you're saying is just as valid as what they're saying. Some people are impatient. Some people are not to anybody else. They're thinking about what I need to say, what I need to get across, without having any idea what's going on around them. You don't have to get into that place with them. And so that's what I'm saying about the settling. We're settling for a life less than, a situation less than. And so in being happy to settle, we start to shrink and we start to play small. And those types of behaviours keep us stuck. Not being visible, not taking ownership of who you are, until you do something about it, you will stay stuck. And sometimes I don't think it's about something deliberate, but I don't think some of us know who we really are. We have never stopped to celebrate our achievements. We've never stopped and said thank you for how far we've come, or acknowledge how far we've come. We have never stopped to look at the landscape that we are on and think, I'm pretty okay. This is pretty good. You may be managing a team, leading a department, leading an organization, achieving great results in the organization for your company. You can talk about the results of the bottom line, whether it's marketing, money, whatever, I don't know. But my point is, you do it so often that it's sort of almost like goes over your head, and you don't recognize or see that as a success, as an achievement. And I know I talk about career and work, but it applies equally in the home. I'm just a stay-at-home mum. I don't see anything just about that whatsoever. Bringing up small children, I know, is not easy. Running a home is not easy. Maybe on a limited budget is not easy. So never, ever deny who you are or what you do, whether you're a stay-at-home mum or whether somebody goes out to work, whether you work part-time, full-time, top of the ladder, middle of the ladder, just starting out, wherever you are, acknowledge how far you have come and also the journey that you're going on. But the thing about, let's say, stop to smell the coffee or the flowers or whatever it is, do that. Acknowledge that you did this. If it's the fact that you led a team and they achieved this, make a note of it, because only in making a note of these things will you remember. And the note could be buying yourself some flowers, going for drinks with the team. I don't know. Celebrate it as you see fit. But it's a good reminder, a marker, again, of how far you've come. The next time you have to do it, you'll think, yeah, I did that, and we can do this even better. Because I remember some of the learnings from that, and some of the things we did really well, and some of the things not so well, and how we could improve upon them. I'm not saying you spend every waking hour analysing every single thing you did, but there are some key things that you'll remember. We won't do it that way again. We won't waste quite too much time in the consultation area. We'll do the consultation in a different sort of way so that we can get on. I think you get my point, that in acknowledging what you're doing, whether it's a £1 million deal, whether it's recruiting 5 people, whether it's ensuring that we save jobs, we create a great environment for people to learn in, to work in, all these are important. But it's important, as I said, to mark them and to know them. I know that for some of you, words like success and influence may trigger you. The environment you were raised in, the words like successful and influential and powerful and ambitious may not have been words you heard all the time. And the context in which you heard them wasn't positive. Oh, they're so driven. Oh, they're so ambitious. And just the tone and the way those words are used would suggest it's not a good thing. If it's a man, it's almost like that's okay. But if that's a woman, gosh, no. And I have seen the face pulling when somebody said, oh, well, she's very ambitious. And the face is pulled as if somehow... And yes, and she eats her own children in the same breath. But she doesn't. She just happens to have a focus and a desire to do what she does very well and to move on. It doesn't make her a bad person. And it doesn't make you a bad person to have an ambition. My company isn't called Embrace Your Ambition by accident. It is for those reasons. One day, I got the idea, and I don't know where it came from, that Embrace Your Ambition should be where my company name should come from. It's always just been Beverly Bramwell, and it still is our name. But Embrace Your Ambition came to me one day, and I too was triggered by it. I thought, what am I talking about, Embrace Your Ambition? But then I realized that the fact that I was triggered by it, I knew it was the right thing. And as I said, embrace your ambition, not despise it, not denigrate it, not run it down, not deny it, embrace it. Ambition can mean different things to different people. Yes, the long-distance runner might be ambitious to run a marathon. You might be ambitious to lead a department, to be a great wife, to have a great life. Ambitions mean different things to different people. But my point is, you don't have to deny them. You don't have to say, I don't want them. Why shouldn't you want them? I used to run some courses around power and influence, and we would talk about at the beginning about what people saw and what they thought was meant by the word being powerful and being influential. And 9 times out of 10, people wrote about very negative things because those are the types of meanings that were attached. And therefore, I don't want to be powerful. I don't want to be influential. I don't want to be seen as ambitious. Well, what do you want? Well, I want to be liked. Well, surely you can be liked and all those things. I don't want to be a failure. Well, I get that. However, sometimes we have to fail to succeed. I'm not saying we've got to fail spectacularly, although some of us have done that too. But we have to fail sometimes so we can see the other side. And failure can mean different things to different people. So we can fail in different ways. And in failing, we discover something about ourselves. Marianne Williamson, and I haven't quoted her absolutely accurately, but she talks about, who am I to be fabulous? Who are you not to be? And that's the point I'm making. Who are you not to be? I see lots of women's CVs, and I look at their job title, and I read the stuff they've written about themselves, their achievements, and I think, meh, what's that? Your title says senior whatever, head of, leading this. And I read this stuff underneath, and it's almost like some sort of apology for the job they're doing. And I'm thinking, where are the active words? Where does it say I did this? So, because what it suggests is that you have a title, but what you do does not match the title. And to be honest, I don't think that's true. So we need to get past this place where we have this job. As I said, we've worked hard to get it, and yet we write about it in such a way as to suggest that we don't deserve it. And I know that a lot of us are in that place of called imposter syndrome, where we think that someone is going to find out about us. So although I'm the head of, the leading this, whatever, somebody is going to discover that really that's not my job, and that really I should be the assistant to the assistant. Been there with that one. When I've got my first CEO post, or before I even got it, I didn't think I should apply. What did I know about being a CEO? Yes, I may have had all the skills on paper. However, I couldn't quite get it right in my head. And I thought, well, I'll apply for the job. They probably won't appoint me, so it doesn't really matter. But they did. And then it was like, holy moly, what am I going to do now? Because I've got the job. I've got to be the CEO. CEO, wow. And the response when I told other people was mixed. Some were really pleased and some were not as encouraging as I would have liked, which merely fed into my own insecurities. And I guess it was their own insecurities why they were not as fulsome in their support of what I had achieved. But in a sense, I was creating that because I wasn't as fulsome at first about what I had achieved. Now I look back, it was one of my best times. However, in that initial run-up to it, I did think, whoa, gosh, you know, they haven't got this right. And don't worry, within a couple of weeks, they'll be saying, yep, you're right, we didn't get it right, and off you go. So I get that, and it's common. But it isn't about not being good enough, and I don't need to start believing that either. It's just that we haven't got comfortable with those descriptions of ourselves. We haven't got comfortable with the idea of being successful, of having influence, of having power. See, I've changed the words from powerful influence to having those things, because we do. We do have influence, we do have power, of having success and achieving something. And so therefore, it can take a bit of time to adjust, to see who we are, what we have done, and where do we go from here. And as I've always said, whenever I work with anybody, one of my first questions I ask them is, what do you want? And that's important, because so many of us have got that noise in our head saying, do this, don't do this, and if you do this, this will happen. And you know what's happening. And if I do this, this will happen. If I don't do this, that'll happen. And I don't want my voice to speed up, because you wonder what on earth I'm saying. But and so on and so on and so on and so on is going on with you. So I want you to know who you are. And it's not just your job, and it's not just being a mother or a wife or a sister or an auntie. Who am I? I'm fabulous. I'm pretty good at what I do. And I'm saying pretty good, not because I'm being modest, but I know for some of you, if I start using other words, you'll get triggered. So if you can say I'm pretty good at what I do and I'm senior vice, whatever it is, great. But I want you to get comfortable with feeling uncomfortable, with the fact that you are flawed, and in spite of the flaws, you know who you are, you know what you've done, and you know what you want. And if you can get comfortable with the fact that who you are, what you've done, and what you want are things that you need to keep about you all the time in your little box of tricks, then great. Get comfortable being triggered by words like successful and influential, because eventually you won't be so triggered. Today I talked about having power and having success and having influence, but I want you to think about being powerful and influential and successful. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable about knowing your worth and asking for it. Knowing your worth and expressing yourself. Asking for what you want, whether it's about money, whether it's about title, whether it's about position, but being okay with stating what you need. Sometimes we think people are mind readers and they know what we want. Sometimes they are, and sometimes they are not. And unless you say, they do not know. And that's what I took, comes finally to this point about getting out of your own way and finding your voice to express your needs. We can all talk about discrimination, whether gender or ethnicity or sexuality, but also there's our own bias that we have towards ourselves. So nobody can control that except us. And so as long as you are putting up the blocks to your own success, to your own progress, you're doing a hell of a better job than anybody who's discriminating against you because of your skin color or your body shape or who you sleep with when you're not in the office. And frankly, most of those things you cannot change unless you go about it in some probably unorthodox way. Because I'm not saying you can't, because I know people try to, but my point is they are part of who you are. But don't help the situation along by then beating yourself up at the same time, by not standing up for yourself, by not using your voice and being ready to speak in meetings, being ready to speak wherever you need to speak and express an opinion. If you need to, prepare in advance, make some notes, but don't miss those opportunities. And I talk about meetings, could be at a conference where somebody says something and you think, I need to say something. Put your hand up, stand up, say, mine is Beverly Bramwell, and I'm from Embrace Your Ambition. And I just want to say that what you're saying there, I think is interesting. However, have you thought about this? What you do when you do that, you give other people permission to do exactly the same thing. Because sometimes they are also sitting on their hands thinking, I want to say something, but who am I? Because I look like this and I'm not wearing a suit. I've only got a dress on and my dress came from Target or it came from H&M or wherever it came from. Because that's the other thing. If you pay a woman a compliment about a frock or what she's wearing, oh, this old thing, I got it in the sale. It was 50% off. I got it from the supermarket. I don't actually care, love. I think it's a great dress. Full stop. All you have to do is say, thank you. That's it. So therefore, when I'm sitting there judging myself at what I'm wearing, whether my shoes are quite right, and whether or not I could have losing a few pounds, whether or not my hair is right, I'm missing the opportunities. If I stand up and speak and say, hello, my name is Beverly Bramwell. I'm from Embrace Ambition, and I just need to say this. Somebody else might think, well, if she can and she looks like that, then I can because I look like this. Because that's what we do. That's what goes through our heads. I'm not going to pretend it doesn't. I can stand up and say, and my name is Zoe, and I'm from ABC Company, and I just want to say this. And my name is Alice, and I'm from XYZ Company, and I want to say this. And the more you get comfortable with putting your hand up, whether it's 50 people in a room, 100 people in the room, 1,000 people in the room, it's okay to put your hand up and say, I just want to say something, and wait for the mic to come to you and to say what you need to say. But hiding out, missing those opportunities, they won't come back. We have one life, one time, one chance, so don't waste them. I, as I said in my last couple of shows, because of what's happened, not to me personally, but what I have seen, we've had terrorism, we've had fires, we've had major disasters in this country. And people have lost their lives who were not expecting to lose their lives in those circumstances. And it just made me think, rather than plan so far in the future, maybe I should bring it much closer to now and think about now. What am I doing in my life right now that I need to do something about? Am I living my best life? I talk about it, and yes, I'm doing lots of work on it. Am I living my best life right this very minute, today, this week? And so that's my own personal challenge, that as long as I'm suggesting that I live in the future, I'm missing out on now. Yes, I'm living in the now, but I want to be even more connected to the now. I love my work. I love what I do. I love working with women. I love helping them change their lives. But I want to make it so immediate, so now. So talking about this is part of my now, part of my own preparation for living right here, right now. And I encourage you to do exactly the same thing, not to waste those opportunities, not to depend on somebody to state your case, to speak up for you, to say, oh, she's okay, pick her. Because what if they do a bad job? What if they're a bit wet when they say it? What if they sort of whisper it and the person doesn't hear? It's an opportunity gone and missed. So I want you to think about how you can speak up for yourself, whether personally, professionally, casually in the street, when the person does something you do not like, just saying, I'm sorry, this isn't working for me, just to say that. And be clear, say what you mean. So the other person is clear about what you want or need or what's going on. Like I said, them are not mind readers, and most of us are thoughtless and careless. Not intentionally, but we are, and we're casual in our speech and we're casual in our behavior sometimes, and we don't always see the knock-on effect of that. So it's okay just to say, it's okay, I'm sorry, could you not do that? That's all. I have been where you are, not speaking up for myself and being afraid to own my own power. So I understand what goes through your head when you're having that internal conversation and that dialogue. And I still have it sometimes too, when I'm having that dialogue with myself about what is and what is not. And I will tell you honestly, before I did this radio show and I thought about doing it, and the night of my first one, it wasn't my greatest show, but I did it anyway. But my point was, there was all this stuff going on about, what if I don't get it right? What if I'm not very good? What if people don't get it? What if my accent? What if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? And you know how that goes. But what I was willing to do was to step up and step out of my comfort zone. Yes, it was a big step for me. But what I know, because I talk about it all the time, is comfort zones do not shrink. So I've created a bigger comfort zone. And I now do this. And I love doing this show. But my point is, as I've done it, so I know that other things are now available to me by stretching my comfort zone. And so for most of us, that's what this really is about. It's about stretching our comfort zones. And that newfound confidence that comes with it. That newfound idea that, hey, it was okay. Yeah, I was a bit nervous at first, but it was okay. And sometimes even make ourselves laugh because think, what was I so het up over? What was I worrying about? It was okay. I didn't fall over. As my great, and one of my phrases always is, the world did not stop turning. Yep, we're all still here. It's okay, it's fine. So yeah, I can do this. Strange at first. But now it's not. I was uncomfortable, and now I'm comfortable. I will find something else to be uncomfortable about, trust me, because that's part of us is who I am. And that's part of who we all are. But in the moment now, I'm comfortable with what I'm doing. And I want to be creating a bigger comfort zone, working with more women and more people, to live their best life. And as I say that, I get butterflies because I'm thinking that means a bigger comfort zone than the one I have now, to work with more people in different ways. Some will be coaching, some will be mentoring, some might be through the power of speech as I'm doing now. So working with people will take different forms for me, but what I know is that as long as I can quiet down the thoughts that are in my head about what if this and what if that, and you've already heard my little what if thing, then I know that I can move forward with that. I can explore what might be possible. I can explore how what I do might make a difference. I can explore about the fact that what is possible. I can also look back and say, look how far you've come, and smile and feel happy about that. I need to do that to remind myself, and I make my clients do it too. Look how far you've come. Some of them resent doing it at first. Why do you make me write down my achievements? Because I want you to feel comfortable with them. Therefore, when we get to that, we're looking at your CV and we're discussing that. So uncomfortable when I start saying, so why have you written this about yourself? Why do you not say this about yourself? Because what I want people to understand is this bland apology type way of writing a CV, where I sort of don't really say who I am and I don't really do talk too much about that, is somehow going to get me a job. It is going to get me noticed. Newsflash, it won't. It won't. So let's not deny who we are. Let's not pretend that we are less than. Trust me, if you're the CEO of a company, then say so and act so and tell me that in your CV. And if you're senior vice, tell me that too. If you're head of department, tell me that too. And if you lead 15 staff, 20 staff, 100 staff, and they are scattered around the world or scattered all around England or wherever it is, tell me that too. Do not apologize and say that maybe I sort of do this and I look downcast and don't give me eye contact and the CV pretends as if somehow what I do is some sort of apology. You don't need to do any of those things. Like I said, we've got enough going on around us with people denying us what we are rightly deserving without us denying ourselves that. So get out of your own way. You don't have to settle. You don't have to play small. You don't have to be invisible. You don't have to whisper and hope that you find your voice and hope somebody will speak up for you. You can do all of that and more. One thing I encourage you to do on my show is, if you haven't checked me out, please go and join my Facebook group. It's called Embrace Your Ambition. It came before the show, but it's, you know, it's part of what I want to make, I reinforce that idea, that people get comfortable with hearing that phrase, Embrace Your Ambition. So if you haven't, please join my Facebook group, Embrace Your Ambition, and we can continue the conversation over there, and you can ask me questions, and we can interact. I also have a Facebook page called Beverly Bramwell, because guess what, that's who I am. Facebook.com/Bev Bramwell. So please check me out on both of those places and ask me questions. State your own ideas and thoughts. Get comfortable with sharing your thoughts and ideas. That's how we all grow, and that's how we all find out about each other. So if you join the group, tell me who you are, why you're there, and what you're hoping to see for yourself in the world. Some people have asked about coaching slots, and yes, I do have some. And I could talk about that now, but I won't. What I will say is join my group, like my page, ask me questions. And if you still, and if you want to find out about coaching, message me through my Facebook page, and we can talk about all sorts of options that may be available. In the first instance, I always like to find out, are we a match? Am I what you're looking for? Do you know what you want? And I say, am I what you're looking for? Because different coaches coach in different ways, and everybody has their own particular needs. And how I coach is not how somebody else coaches, and what your needs are may not be what I provide. And so in the first instance, before we have any talk about coaching and where you want to be, I like to have, somebody calls it a chemistry meeting. And I think it's something about that. Am I the right person for you? Are you going to want to work with me? Because I say to all of my clients, I will challenge you. I will support you in equal measure. I will support you to the hilt, but I will challenge you when I think you're playing small, when I think you're hiding out, when I think you're denying who you need to be. So that's why I say that. What I want you to think about tonight is how you can start to embrace your ambition, how you can start to step forward living your best life, how you can see where you have been hiding out, where you have been not invisible, but not as visible as you could have been, where perhaps you're waiting for somebody else to say the right things about you and put your name forward. You know what you have to say and you know what you have to do, so I don't need to tell you that. But you do know that unless you're willing to step forward and say, this is me, this is who I am, this is what I'm about, we can't really get started. And so I encourage you to think about where you have been doing this. It may not be at work, it may be at home, with your friends, with your partner, to expressing your needs. This is what I need from you. This is what's going on for us. Equally, are you playing small? Are you pretending not to be the powerhouse that you are? Are you denying the fact that you have achieved a great many things and there are a great many things more that you want to do? Are you hiding out in the fact that nice girls don't say that? Nice girls don't do that. Well, here's another newsflash for you. I don't know what this nice girl nonsense is all about, because frankly, you're not a bad girl for wanting to be good at what you do, for expressing yourself, for having needs and desires and ambitions. So I encourage you to shake off and let go of this nice girl thing. Equally, I know that for some of you, you think if you're not a nice girl, you must be a bitch. And I apologize for using that word. However, I know that's where we somehow think women reside, in one place or the other. We reside actually somewhere in the middle. We don't have to become a man or act like one to achieve success, to be good at what we do. And we don't have to hide out and be simpering and pretending because we don't want anybody to think that we are too bossy, too much leadership, too much something, too much hard work, as somebody once described me as being. But yeah, because I have my own opinion. Yeah, that's a tough one. So I get that, and I can see that sometimes. That in certain circumstances, depending on the industry you work in and who you work with, a woman with her own opinion, it may be a bit hard for some people to cope with at first. But that doesn't mean you don't have to re-educate them. That's all I'll say on that matter, re-educate them. So stop hiding out. Stop denying who you are. You don't have to play small. And you don't have to be less invisible. I want you to be the best example of who you are. As I said, who am I to be fabulous? Who are you not to be? And with that, I just want to say, I've enjoyed talking to you tonight. It's always a pleasure talking to you. Remember, as I said, to embrace your ambition. Because a life half lived is not living is not living at all. You've been listening to Beverly Bramwell from Embrace Your Ambition. Come and join my Facebook group, Embrace Your Ambition. I make things simple for you. Find my page, Beverly Bramwell, facebook.com/BevBramwell. A like, send me a message, comment on one of my posts. Take me to task if you don't think what I'm saying is true. I have no problem with that. Join my group, do it on my page. Be fully self-expressed. Don't hold back. Tell me where you think it's not real, it's not true. In where you work, it's not possible because how it is where you are. I'm willing to hear that. I'm willing to have those conversations. But my point is, embrace your ambition. Live your life today, because it's the only one we have. Today, right now. Have a good day. Have a good evening. Wherever you are, embrace your ambition.